To wish you a very beautiful day, a very beautiful morning. We are in our season of gratitude, is really what I call it. I don't relate very much to the Thanksgiving holiday because of its relationship to the conflicts in early America between the settlers, colonizers, and indigenous peoples of this land. And many people actually celebrate Thanksgiving as Indigenous Peoples Day. And that's more akin to how I regard this holiday. Rather than celebrating falsely a relationship that ultimately came to represent the overtaking of the indigenous principles in this land, but to really go back to that sense of gratitude, understanding that we all have opportunities to be thankful in our lives, and we all have opportunities to forgive as well, to let go of some of the wounding and hurtful things that have taken place within us. When we do forgive, it allows us to open up a doorway to build something new. So it's important to be grateful, it's important to be forgiving, but it's also very important to have a sense of deep awareness of the world in which we live, and also of the world within which that lives within us. Because we are divided in an external world, which at the current moment seems quite chaotic. And it's really helpful, I believe, if we can balance the outer chaos with an inner gravitation towards what can bring us peace and balance within. Because when we can establish that peace and balance inside of us, then that gives us an opportunity to bring that peace forward into our lives and into our world. And in such a way, we can become more powerful in how we engage within the world. The temptation, of course, is to fall under the spell of the negativity, the toxic communication that we see around us, the conflict, and the suffering that we see around us in our neighborhoods, in our families. Also, at farther afield, we see this throughout the world with the unfortunate conflicts that are taking place in countries around the world, and we see people dying, suffering, the immigrant crisis. And in our own country, the United States, I see a crisis of consciousness in people being driven, perhaps, or awakened to the choice that presents itself to us in terms of the old ideologies of racism and fascism and the new ideologies that bring forth a sense of equality, peace, and abundance within our lives. So we live in these worlds, and it's important to be cognizant of the whole spectrum. And in doing this, we take ourselves internally for that inner realization's awakening. And this is the search I believe we are all engaged in. So I want to share a bit of music with you. And it is a piece called Searching by Aaron Paul. And it's from a CD called There's an Angel Watching You. So I invite you to just take a moment and breathe as we listen to this song. Well, we're back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio here over the Progressive Radio Network. And today we have been speaking about looking within for answers, looking within for understanding, but also being guided by principles that are
very present and available to us. And these are principles that we can find within ourselves, but also be guided through the wisdom that has been shared by some of the great teachers and from really wisdom that comes from the ancient world. And today, these last few days, I've been looking at a book. It's called The 11 Eternal Principles, Accessing the Divine Within by Carmen Harrah, Harra. And this particular book really does begin to give us a sense of where we are and how we can use these principles to negotiate our lives within the chaotic world. And this book was actually written in 2009, and so she talks about the coming upheaval, but we find ourselves here in 2016 actually being in the midst of this upheaval that she speaks of. The Mayan and Hopi calendars, Nostradamus predictions, and the prophecies encoded on the walls of the Great Pyramid of Egypt reveal that we are at an ending point in human history when great astrological changes will occur in the cosmos. Some believe this means that the human race is destined to sustain tremendous losses and may even become extinct. I believe we are on the verge of a major shift in the human experience, but it doesn't have to be a destructive one. And it may be frightening to see polar ice caps melting, an increase in terrorism around the globe, and the humanitarian causes, crises, the collapse of our banking systems, and so many things. And there are days when it seems the whole world is falling apart and going mad. But we hold the key to changing our destiny, and we can awaken to the signs that we have to change the way we live and evolve. And I believe that's really, truly what's going on with the chaos we see in the world, is that we're being given a very clear choice point. One of the features of the Hopi prophecy, they have a drawing on a rock out in the Midwest, and they show humanity going in two directions, making a choice. And this is where we are. We are at a point of choosing, do we want to reinforce the divinity that flows through us, or will we become overwhelmingly attached to the outer world and the things that are going on around us? And it's important that we approach this from a more expanded perspective of who we are. The divine reality, our minds are tools for understanding the world, but we often use them in limited ways. And some of us have convinced ourselves that the world of our senses, where we suffer pain and illness and watch our bodies grow old, is the only reality, but it isn't. There's a larger reality that operates according to a very different set of rules, and it is the realm of the divine. And we need to really understand that these two worlds, the visible and the invisible, the man-made and the divine, gives us two different perspectives on realities. And we actually, it may very well be why we have two sides to our brain, the left hemisphere to involve most of our thinking and reasoning, and the right is the seat of intuition in the area where dreams are created. Our left brain understands the world of the senses, while the right brain allows us to perceive that there's no more to reality than we can see, hear, feel, smell, or touch. And these two worlds of the inner and outer, of the left and the right, the manifested world of man and the manifested world of the divine, have different sets of rules that apply to them. And within the inner world, if you look at many of the indigenous cultures, they do depend very much on the relationship to dreaming as it creates our reality. And dreaming in this sense, in the sense of the shamanic path, is really not about dreaming the troubles of our world and reliving those troubles. It's about dreaming in a sense of creativity, of giving power to that which we will invoke into and create within the visible world. So what we are called to do is to go deeply into our own divine sensibilities and begin to empower that aspect of ourselves so that we can begin to weave into the manifested world these very principles. And the principles in the first case help us to retreat from the manifestation of fear and chaos and anger and allow us to hold that energy of manifestation that will give us the capacity to change the experience in the outer world rather than be endlessly subjected to this chaos. And there are simply put 11 eternal principles that are fundamental to how the world works, how the divine world is functioning. And when we bring ourselves into alignment with these principles, then we begin to create a world that is patterned after those divine principles. When we give way and don't pay attention to these principles, that's when we fall into chaos. Now, I believe that there are many civilizations, some very controlling civilizations that understand these principles very well and are using them to the disadvantage of humanity by feeding chaos into the manifested conscious world so that those of our divine energies will be channeled into expanding that chaos and mayhem. So it's really upon each of us as individuals to align ourselves with the divine principles so that we, first of all, will not be energetically fed upon and used as a mechanism for increasing the chaos. We see a lot of that in the news because the news tends to focus on those people who are engaging in destructive behaviors. It doesn't focus on those of us who are working towards balance and bringing these divine principles into our existence. And the divine, the 11 eternal principles of the divine realm are the law of totality, the law of karma, the law of wisdom, the law of love, the law of harmony, the law of abundance, the law of attraction, the law of evolution, the law of manifestation, and the law of dharma. And the 11th is the law of infinite possibilities. Now, these are basic principles that have been brought forth from very ancient times, and they don't represent laws as in the kind of laws we see in our politics or in our government structures, legal structures. These are actual laws because they are principles and represent the foundation upon which reality is functioning. So if we can understand these principles or eternal principles or laws, and we align ourselves with them, then we begin to have a sense and a real empowerment within our lives that can transform who we are and how our life moves forward. And we can begin to recognize this in our individual personal lives and what's going on within our lives in terms of whether it's wisdom, love, harmony, abundance. And we begin to see these principles being enacted within our lives when we bring ourselves into alignment. And I believe that when collectively there are enough people evoking these laws, it will have a greater impact on the totality of our world. So we have this responsibility to align and transform the inner, but through the impeccable behavior of moving out into the world and using these very same principles in how we have relationships and how we conduct our businesses and how we engage politically, then we begin to bring these divine principles into active engagement within our world. We do see a lot of this taking place, and we can know that a lot of it is taking place. We just can't depend on the media to show us the truth of what's happening. The media, because it's within the hands of a few, is going to be bringing forth the more unbalanced aspects of these principles. Because when more people are tempted into that unbalanced behavior, into that unbalanced thinking, and into those emotions of anger and rage, then that feeds into the power of the system that continues to be unbalanced, purposefully so that the elite few can feed off the energetic resources of the many. And those resources can look like financial resources, but it's so much deeper than that, because it becomes a transference of spiritual power from one to the other. So it's really important for us to pay attention of this. And Really, in the book it says, by having rejected the eternal principles, we've lost the wisdom and knowledge that would make our world far more hospitable for all. Thousands of years ago, our lives were primitive by today's standards, but our wisdom was much greater than we can imagine. We were more in touch with our divine selves and able to communicate with the divine more easily. Because of this, we were able to defy the laws of physics and science. Today, we look at the Great Pyramid and the obelisks of Egypt and scratch our heads wondering how ancient people could have constructed these things. But the truth is, because they were in connection to these expanded capacities, this divine wisdom of being able to really understand the power of vibration through movement, through sound, a lot of these great structures could easily have been constructed through sound vibration, through communicating very deeply with the elementals of the earth. And it's a very empowering place, because when we can return to that state, we can begin to truly clean up our world, because we will be able to manifest some of this power. And also, as we collectively move into a more aligned state, people will be less willing to surrender their power and their wisdom to those that would abuse and corrupt it. So we have a responsibility and a certain power in what we're doing. And this is really the greater part of spiritual understanding. It's for us to know that the spirit, the movement of spirit in our lives, is something that is so far beyond the casual, so far beyond the so-called thinking that we might be engaged in something that's not real, engaged in something that makes no real sense to us. And so this will help us to to really understand that spirituality is a way for us to reach deeply into the true power of what it is to be this being that we are, this human being, so that we can transform. We can transform our world, and we can transform our understandings, and we can develop and really go much, much further than we could ever imagine. So it's important for us to realize that spirituality is not about a surrender to some all-knowing God. It's about embodying and taking on the truth of who we are, so that we can transform the world in which we live. And so I wanted to start by going a little bit deeper into some of these principles. And the first eternal principle, the law of totality, all people and all creatures are one, united with the divine. And really, what does that mean? It begins to recognize that it's not a matter of us as being supplicating ourselves to some strange deity in the sky. It's about understanding that we are the substance and structure and emanation of that divine power. And God is very neutral, if we think in terms of the ultimate divinity. It's neutral because it is giving us, through our own will and free choice, the power to execute onto the planet, into existence, with the power of creation. So we are that which God is doing. We are that which God is saying. We are that which God or the ultimate divine is doing. But we have been given this grace of consciousness to be able to cultivate ourselves to understand this and to take this true power back. And so this is really a very important understanding, this law of totality, because the totality means that we can tap into the totality of creation, that we can begin to evoke that totality in the world in which we live, rather than surrendering that power to some so-called Godhead, some religion, some political entity, into this structure that was designed to feed off of the divine power that we each have. So this is one of the lessons of the law of totality. Grace is divine, for we are all connected in divinity at all times. Feeling disconnected from each other and from divinity is man-made. So if we look at what kingships are and presidential structures are, and congressional structures, and most importantly, religious structures, because that came early. Its design was to disconnect humanity from that direct connection to their own inner wisdom. And so our first step is to really do that inward searching with the knowledge that, in fact, there's nothing to fear from going within. Ego is the awareness of one's separateness, one's need to survive as a creature on this earth, and the ego's concern is not divinity, but individual survival and individual power. And that is the structure that's been set up for us, where the system is designed to favor a few in this endeavor, and the rest of us are in a way duped into following that path, thinking that by fighting each other and beating each other down, that we're somehow going to be better able to survive and to create a structure of individual power. And these are the people we see coming out and being angry and being hateful and wanting to kick people out of the country and want to suppress and put people down and making divisions based on religions and colors. The basic protective survival energy. But if we can step back from that and move into our soul being and find that divinity, then we can begin to see the common ground and begin to see the problems for what they are, that it's not about a particular religion in a particular behavior of some of those people and causing us to fear them all, but to look at the behavior as something that is abhorrent. So when we look at the behavior of, say, the Islamic terrorists, it's easy to identify the terrorist behavior, but could we say that the Christian faith was any different when it moved into this country and terrorized the indigenous people? Is it any different when the police at Standing Rock, for instance, go in and terrorize the people who are protecting the water, or when our streets and police in the streets come in and terrorize people who they deem as lesser or somehow bad? And it's not always so divisible between white and black, Christian, Muslim. It's an energy that can befall any people, and it's something that we all have to be vigilant about in terms of this understanding of that we are all of the same. We are all part of the same totality. It's really important for us to recognize this and to see where we fall within this. And the second eternal principle is the law of karma. What we do and what happens to us are the result of our soul's choice to come to earth to learn the lessons we need to learn. And I believe that there's a level of truth to this, that we do come to the earth to learn lessons, but I believe we also come to the earth to manifest. And karma is part of that manifesting process. So our karma, what we put out is what we get back. And so then we can choose by aligning with principles on what it is that we're going to put out into the world. And so it's really important for us to not regard karma as some kind of judgment or blame. And so the lesson of the law of karma is compassion is divine. Judgment, blame, and punishment are man-made. So when we're thinking of karma as something that includes judgment, blame, or punishment, then we are engaging in behavior of judgment, blame, and punishment. And so the only way to truly understand karma is to look upon ourselves and upon the people around us with a level of compassion, with a desire to understand where this behavior might be coming from. Because when we do fall into judgment and blame or desire for punishment, two things begin to happen. We begin to fall into that very same energy which we are decrying, and we become a manifestation of that low vibration. But also, those of us who have in our own lives or perhaps historically, perhaps in terms of ancestry, have engaged in behaviors of bad karmic behaviors. So let's say when I look at some of the folks who are now embodying racist fascist ideology, I have to wonder where that comes from. Does it just come from the fact that they are just racist or fascist, or is there something deeper going on? Are they perhaps reflecting a level of fear and shame over behaviors earlier created? So to me, this is how karma manifests. So let's say your ancestors came into the world in the 1700s, 1800s, and were part of this energy of suppression and oppression and discrimination, and claiming properties, claiming lands, claiming resources for their own. And this is the history of the world. It's happened many times through many civilizations, through different peoples. But let's say you're directly connected to that karma. Well, how would that manifest in you? It might manifest as simple fear. Like, well, I know what my ancestors did, so I better keep this going, because otherwise the people who were oppressed are going to turn around and get me back. So there's a level of fear in that kind of behavior. So when I see people who are manifesting toxic behavior, I try to expand my perspective to have a level of compassion for what is that level of fear that these people are experiencing that would drive them to engage in this hateful behavior. When we look at the terroristic and toxic behavior that's ascribed to the terrorist factions that are called to be Islamic, I don't really believe that to be the case, but what are they responding to? Are they responding to something that occurred earlier in their history? Was it the taking of their lands? Was it the taking of their resources? Was it the judgment of their practices, their religious practices? Are they trying to defend something? So there's a endless cycle that comes into play where we have to be able to step back from that cycle and look at it from a much broader perspective so that we don't get drawn into that karmic energetic cycle of So we have countries in the Middle East who may have been oppressed, and then they get angry and they start warring and oppressing other people. And then the people in the West get fearful of the Islamic, and then they start trying to oppress them. So rather than continuing this cycle and fighting each other and continuing the cycle of innocence being harmed, then if we can step back from that, we can see the karmic cycle and bring a sense of compassion to that cycle in our engagement in the world. And so these principles work for us on an individual level, and they work for us on a societal level. The next principle, the third eternal principle, is the law of wisdom. Wisdom is recognizing that we can and cannot, what we can and cannot change, accepting our limitations, and choosing to use our suffering as a tool for learning about ourselves and growing spirituality. So this is a certain truth as expressed in this book, The Eternal Principle, The Law of Wisdom. And I think that there is a certain truth, because if we are examining, say, the karmic wheel from a more expanded perspective, it does give us the wisdom to be able to see that cycle and to be able to engage with that cycle in a different way, to be able to bring forth a different understanding, a more expanded understanding, so that we can walk in a different direction, so we can take a different path within our personal lives, and we can look inside of us for those dark shadows that may be hiding and perhaps creating behaviors that we don't even understand. So wisdom for me is that space where we might be engaged in something, might be experiencing something. You might be fearful. You might legitimately be angry. You might, you know, have these emotions coursing through your body, but have not the understanding of where they come from on a deep level. So wisdom is being able to say, hold on, let me take a stop, let me take a step back and reach to a point of understanding where this anger comes from, and how can I heal it within myself rather than evoke that anger into more karmic behavior that's going to cycle downward instead of giving us an opportunity to transform and hear and heal. So on one level, there's a level of acceptance, and there's a level of courage to just be able to sit in that space and feel it and look at it, and but not to engage it in such a way that it becomes destructive. And then, you know, we can have a certain sense of gratitude that we have this ability, that we've been able to discern the difference, to see in on an expanded level. And that's where we get into our divine wisdom, so that we can look at the anger and jealousy and sadness and judgment and recognize it as part of this man-made cycle of life, but it is not the truth, the inner truth of who we are, and we can make a choice to take that divine path, which brings us into alignment. And that's really what I consider the law of wisdom to be. Our next principle, the fourth eternal principle, is the law of love. Pure, unconditional love heals our karma and our hatred and reminds us of our divine nature. So this is really a very beautiful idea, that love is really the fundamental principle of existence and the fundamental principle of healing and the fundamental truth of who we are as beings, because love is what comes from the divine. That is the force of creation. That is what is allowing us as human beings to move through these changes, through these ups and downs, through the chaos, so that we can truly learn to embody and embrace that love within our beings. So it's a journey that we've been given the grace of following without interruption and without being stopped. The divine is not about the judgment of it, it's about allowing. And so when we can move into this space of love, then we can begin to embrace ourselves, our beauty, and even the mistakes, even the mishaps after a time become very beautiful, because we see that it's like watching a small child speaking its first words or taking its first steps, and you see that child stumbling and falling and getting up and hanging on to the side of a table, and finally they can walk, and then finally they can run. And we're like this on the divine level. Our divine source is allowing us to do all this stumbling and falling and getting up so that we can walk and that we can run and that we can ultimately fly in the knowledge that we are of this divine beauty. And so bringing into our lives this recognition, the law of love, is a beautiful way of us understanding that ultimately we are on the path to that expression of the Most High. I wanted to play another piece of music for you, so we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to play a piece of music by a group called Lotus. It's from the Lotus CD, and the name of the song is Within You or Without You. And welcome back. That was another one of my favorites. I love music because I find the vibration, the tone, the words can put us into a state of great peace and connectedness, interconnectedness. And this song, Within You or Without You, really, like our first song, brings us to fall into alignment with that inner divine call, that inner wisdom that we can plug into and allow ourselves to embody, because it truly is the wisdom of our own soul, of our own expanded cosmic being. It's our connection through the cosmic self into the divine self. So it's very powerful when we go within and when we find ourselves in that alignment, because when we do, that alignment flows from us into our world. So this is really the underlying principles that allow us to live in the world and not of the world. We've heard that said by many a sage, but this is in a way what it's about. We can be in this world of chaos but not be fearful, and to be feeling a sense of connectedness and balance. And we find ourselves in that balanced connection, then our life begins to flow within that stream, and it really does make a significant difference on a personal level. And as we transform our personal lives, we can expand that into the people around us, into the community around us, and into the greater world. So now we're going to go to the fifth eternal principle, the law of harmony. There is divine order in the universe, and we are meant to be in harmony with everyone and everything. So this is a knowing. It's a way of understanding what the side of reality that is truthful is about. So if we're living in a state and we're having these anxieties and we're having these fears and we're having these anger and these emotions are flowing through us, it's not to deny it, but it's to understand that there is in some aspect of our being, there is a loss of our connection to harmony. It's not that harmony is lost. It's as if we've moved out of alignment. We're living in dissonance with harmony. Harmony is an underlying principle of the universe. Everything, when we look into the cosmos, there's a harmony there. There's a harmony to the rotation of the planet. There's a harmony of the sun coming over the horizon, or the moon coming visible in the evening, of the passage of our days, of the passage of our lives. There's a certain harmony that underlies the function of life. And when we are in harmony, then we are aligned with that. And this is an important eternal principle for two reasons. It allows us to discern where we are manifesting in our lives and helps us to know that we need to do something within ourselves to move beyond that state of disharmony. And it may be to enter into meditation. It may be to give prayer. It may be to just allow the dissonant feelings to move through us so we can get back to that sense of harmony. It may be by writing. It may be by coming together with a like-minded person to work these things out. But the idea is to travel back into the state of harmony so that we're not living our lives out in dissonance. So the lesson of the law of harmony is that harmony and peace are divine. Conflict, competition, and war are man-made. So when we are engaging in feelings of competition and conflict and feeling a need to be over someone or control our situation even, it means that we have moved out of that harmony. And when we are in harmony, there's a certain resonance that begins to build that allows that harmony to take care of some of the issues that we're worried about or anxious about or concerned about. And of course, we do this on a personal level first and allow ourselves to allow and let go. Perhaps over the holiday, you may have had conversations and dialogues and conflicts with family members who have different ideologies, different belief systems. So the idea is not to go into conflict with it, but to allow it, to try to understand it, pull back from it, maintain your own harmony. And just as we do it across the dinner table, we do it in our associations, in schools and businesses. And then we can just go on and move through to the outer world. And as our associations, as our businesses, as our families, as our schools are working better, then that begins to transform the greater reality in which we live. So we are just about out of time for today's program, so I'm not going to be able to go into all of these principles in this now moment, but I will continue with this so that we can really move through it in an important way, because when we do this, it really connects us to our divine wisdom, our inner wisdom. So as I've been going through this book, The 11 Principles, The 11 Eternal Principles, Accessing the Divine Within by Carmen Hara, I've been skimming through, taking little bits of it, and then sinking that energy, that link to my own wisdom, and then allowing my own wisdom to flow through as my own capacity to channel into that divine world and bring that wisdom through. And this is how we can all begin to use information, by allowing it to stimulate within us our own depth and our own level of understanding and interpretation and expression through these principles. And I'm just going to read, we made our way to the law of harmony. So it was totality, karma, wisdom, love, harmony. And coming up, which we will take on in a subsequent show, are the law of abundance, the law of attraction, the law of evolution, the law of manifestation, the law of Dharma, and the law of infinite possibilities. And it's understanding and embodying these principles that allow us to transform, heal our bodies, heal our spirit, heal our mind, make way for the wisdom of our soul to come through in our lives so that we can begin to create the platform, the new world, within which we're cosmically divined and inspired to create. So that's the opportunity of these times. It's not as bad as it seems. I also would like, by way of announcement, to invite you, those of you who are available, to join me in some of the events that are coming up. Tomorrow on Saturday, I'll be facilitating a trance dance. It's Qigong, and it's really the founding of this practice that I do is a shamanic practice. So we'll be entering into that inner divine state and moving through in a shamanic way, in a natural way, with music that is inspiring us to move and heal through the body. And that's a trance dance. And it's Saturday, November 26th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. And it will be at the Studio Maya in Brooklyn, 603 Bergen Street, and 11238. And it is a $20 admission to that event. And then following December 3rd to the 31st, I'll be offering the series on healing, the mind-body healing series at Studio Maya. And we have more events coming up. I'll invite you to go to the Progressive Radio Network website, prn.fm, and you can check out the Heart of Mind Radio page. The information and links are there, or you can go to my website, Katherine.one, KATHRYN.one, O-N-E, or you can go to my email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Stay tuned for a great day and for more great programming here on the Progressive Radio Network. Bye for now.